The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a special 4th of July weekend edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. Happy holidays, everyone, and you can't help but think of leadership when you think of the 4th of July, right? You think of guys like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. And, you know, Tom, I know that 25 days away from the Bears reporting to Bourbonnais, you're thinking about player leadership on the squad.
Yeah, you know, the thing that kind of put it in my mind is I was reading an article about Terrell Pryor, and Terrell Pryor talks about how he's working with Antonio Brown, obviously of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Terrell Pryor now with the Washington Redskins, but there is a little bit of mentoring going on there and trying to teach him the finer points of the wide receiver. And so when I look at the Bears, I look at every position. I look at Ryan Pace bringing in Quinton Demps to help the safeties. Then you got Amukamara and Marcus Cooper at the cornerback position. You got Jarrell Freeman, Danny Trevathan, inside linebacker. You got Willie Young and Pernell McPhee and those guys at the outside linebacker position. You got Akeem Hicks.
Mitch Unrein
at the defensive line position. You got Josh Sitton at the offensive line. You got Zach Miller at the tight end. You got Mike Glennon at the quarterback position. And then that leads me right to the wide receiver position. And when you think about Cam Meredith and you think about Kevin White, is there an on-field mentor? Is there an in-room mentor for these guys? Because like Terrell Pryor, former quarterback, being a wide receiver, Cam Meredith, same thing. Kevin White, injured, really needing to step up to the plate as a number one receiver on this football team. Can Victor Cruz be that guy? Do they have a mentor? And I'm talking about player related, not necessarily their position coaches. I'm talking about a player that's in the room with them that can help these guys develop the strengths they need to become a competitor for this season.
Yeah, Victor Cruz, no doubt, is the most accomplished NFL player in that room. So is Marcus Wheaton coming over from Pittsburgh, playing at a high level with Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. But ultimately, and Jim, I would have to think you'd agree with me on this. It's up to the quarterback, isn't it, when it comes to making sure
Or can the quarterback.
Right. No, I agree with that. I mean, you know, typically when you've got a veteran quarterback, and I do consider Mike Glennon as the veteran, you know, he should be able to really get those guys organized. And, you know, it's just my personal opinion. I know there's a lot of great receivers around the NFL. I personally don't want divas. And I don't think John Fox wants divas on this team either. I mean, you look at guys like Marcus Wheaton. He's played a long enough time to watch Antonio Brown to see how that guy works. And he needs to incorporate that work ethic into his game. And I think the same for Victor Cruz. He's had extreme highs in the NFL when he's healthy. We all know when he had the ACL, then missed a year, and then he came back and had calf issues and all kinds of other issues that really slowed him down. So, you know, I think the Bears are capable of doing it. I personally do not want a receiver to be the spokesperson for the Chicago Bears or any other team in the National Football League. Normally that doesn't go well.
But, you know, Jim, my question being is, does Cam Meredith have that guy that can help him? You know, I do think Brandon Marshall is the last mentor at the receiver position that we've had here with the Chicago, speaking of players. I don't think it was Alshon Jeffery. There's always concern about his injuries or his contract situation, and he wasn't the guy that we sat there at training camp and were kind of enamored with Brandon Marshall, the way he gathered the receivers every single day before practice, told them what he felt they needed to work on, and then after practice he gathered them again, and maybe they stayed out there a little bit because of his influence. And can Victor Cruz immediately be that guy in the room coming here as a free agent? He's been here throughout the OTAs. He's shown explosiveness and experience, but does his position background filter to the guys at the widest portions of the field?
I think he can, because I do think, and he recently said he's got something to prove, because again, when he exploded onto the scene, I mean, this guy's had some big numbers now, and a lot of salsa dances in the end zone that we talk about. I think for Victor, he knows what he's done and wants to get back to that level. So I think he has it in him. It's just, again, it's the health. I think Marcus Wheaton, I brought this story up about Ben Roethlisberger. He said, hey, Marcus Wheaton really needs to be the guy to step up for us. And he did 2 years ago, and then last year it takes a step backward. So he's shown flashes that he's had the ability to do it. And I think the same for Reuben Randall. Reuben Randall, when he got drafted out of LSU, was considered silky smooth. Everybody thought this guy was really just going to take off, and he hasn't really reached the heights that everybody thought he was capable of, and has bounced around with a couple of teams. Now, Cam Meredith has shown, you know, steady growth with where he's at, and Kevin White, I think we can all say it. His frame is there, the speed is there, the size is there, but can he do it? Can he stay healthy? Because it's really been 2 years. I don't want to call it a waste because I know he's learning the playbook and all that stuff, but we have yet to see it. And I think the same for Kendall Wright and the other receivers there. It's very competitive. So if all those guys definitely do have a chip on their shoulder, like Victor Cruz says, we'll see who steps forward to really prove it, so to speak.
312-644-6767 is the phone number if you want to join us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. But ultimately, though, when you consider kind of what Jim just talked about, where you're incorporating a lot of inexperienced players into the mix, and the few players that have some NFL experience are being brought into a brand new system. So when you throw all of that together, Dowell Loggins, essentially, at the beginning of the year, is going to control how quickly this thing's able to go from a wide receiver standpoint. And I think the way you do it is by truly committing to the run. I know that's what the Bears always talk about. And when John Fox took over, they were going to be a defensive-oriented team that would run the ball first and everything would flow off of that. But we haven't really seen that consistently under this regime. And I think now that you have an answer at the quarterback position, because last year they were dealing with a whole bunch of injuries at the position. They had to use a bunch of different guys, as well as the receiver position. But you know you have a big-time running back in Jordan Howard. The numbers say, last year, only one player in the National Football League rushed for more yards than Jordan Howard. So you know you have a running game, and you had a running game even with all the injuries on the offensive line. You have to truly commit to it, Jim.
They definitely do, and you know, admittedly, Dowell Loggins said it took him a longer period of time to finally get to Howard. You know, the one game that really stuck out in my mind was the win against the Minnesota Vikings. What was that? I think it was like week 7. Might have been right at the middle of the year, week 8. And they just wore down Minnesota's defense. That was an impressive group. I think they're definitely a top 5 defense when you look at Minnesota. And the Bears were just hammering them the entire second half. And I think that's kind of when the light bulb went off at what they had and what they needed to do moving forward. And I think that's who they are. And I think they're not going to stray from that, you know, because the point totals weren't there. And I still don't think the Bears are going to light up the scoreboard. I think they are who they are. They're looking to pick a fight every weekend, be in tight ball games, and can they pull it out in the end by running it down opponents' throats? I think they're capable of it, but we'll see. You know, how many wins will it equate to? Because I just don't see this offense lighting it up for 30 points a game.
You know, the one thing that will help Dowell Loggins, if you go back to that Minnesota game, Eric Kush and Ted Larson started at the offensive guard position, so you didn't know what to expect because you were facing one of the top 5 defenses in the league at that time in the Minnesota Vikings. And then you think about the turmoil and all the ups and downs that Dowell went through with the quarterback position. If they get consistency at just health on this football team, offensively speaking, that could be his biggest asset, is really keeping the same guys on the field. I do think you're going to get development out of the tight end position, but Zach Miller is still a great weapon. And if you do have a guy like Kevin White on the field for 16 games, then you're going to talk about his development. And it's the same thing with the quarterback. If you can get the one quarterback to be a constant, that can help them also.
We're here for the entire hour, taking your phone calls at 312-644-6767. And we'll come back. You have a chance to talk Bears with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. Plus, guys, I'm getting a lot of tweets over the first few minutes of the show. Guys have some interesting questions for you. We'll discuss next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content direct to your device. Alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. It's a special weekend edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Uber, taking your phone calls throughout the hour at 312-644-6767. I can't believe we're 25 days away from the Bears having to report down to Bourbonnais, and it is really a new-look team, Tom. It's a very different team than the one that ended the 2016 season.
But I think a lot of Bears fans want to see a new-look team. They do not want to have those memories from the Minnesota game, how it concluded last year, and the way that things they were going about their business. I think they want to come in here with a more competitive team from the depth offensively speaking, defensively speaking, and special teams, and they want a more productive football team. Because when you look at the Soldier Field in the last couple of regular season games and you saw how many empty seats there were and it was a 3-13 record, I think that, that thought, it's a lingering thought left in the minds of the Bears fans and sports fans around the Chicagoland area and everywhere, and that's just not what they want to see out of this organization.
There's a lot of new blood, Jim, and listening to Mitchell Trubisky, he was talking to a bunch of high school football campers yesterday, and some of the players asked him, do you think the Bears can make the playoffs in 2017? And keep in mind, he hasn't been a part of the problem here over the last few years, and the Bears haven't played in the playoffs since losing to the Packers in the NFC Championship game during the 2010 season. So, he grabs the microphone and goes, what do you think? Of course. Now, it would have been news had he said anything but that, but I think it's that kind of enthusiasm that is, I think, exciting in that locker room and is very much needed after what's transpired here the last few years.
Well, I think so. When you get, new players, new faces, new opportunities to compete, and that's really what it's about. I mean, if any player in that locker room thinks that, we can't go into this weekend, we can't win this game, are you kidding me? You're a paid professional. I mean, and you're competing at the highest level. And I think every time, if you prepare yourself correctly, you've got an opportunity to beat anybody in the National Football League. I don't care if you're, a Cleveland Brown team that finished with one win last year or any other team. You've got an opportunity if you prepare yourself accordingly week in and week out and go out and execute and compete the way you're capable of doing.
I want to go back to something, Jim, that you said in the first segment when you talked about how the plan is to control the football game. That's the Bears' best chance to come up with victories. Keep the game tight and find a way to win it at the end. And the Bears have been involved in a lot of close games during the John Fox era, but unfortunately they haven't been able to finish the way you'd like. Going through some of those losses over the last 2 years with a lot of young players, do you think that you have to learn how to win those games and that you have to endure losses in order for that to happen?
Yeah, and I think they went through that last year. They experienced. Think of the Jacksonville game. That was like a one-point game. It was like 17-16, something like that. If they make one more play on offense, they win the game. If they make one more game-changing play on defense, they win that game. So that's when you got to dig down deep and find out. And I'll give you a case in point. I remember the last play of that game. It was an X in by Alshon Jeffrey, and it gets batted down by Jalen Ramsey. And I'll tell you why. Because Alshon ran a crappy route. If he runs his route correctly, that play is made, that in cut is completed, and the Bears find themselves in field goal range. Didn't happen because they didn't make the play because they didn't execute correctly. So, if everybody's saying, but you feel bad that Alshon's gone? No, I don't. He was running crappy routes and why they lost a game last year that they could have had a victory in if he runs his X in cut correctly.
I think that's going to be one of the preach points throughout training camp is every detail. There is no detail that is too small. And those are the type of things that are going to transition a team that should win that home game rather than being on the losing end of it. And you turn a few of those late game losses around, they turn them into victories. It does a lot for the locker room. It does a lot for the next week of preparation. So you got to start this training camp on a positive note, and you have to finish it, and you have to have that positive vibe run throughout the entire season. And I do think when Zach talked about the transition of players around here, and you think of the attitude of a guy like Mitchell Trubisky, that's what you want to have. Listen, because that's what you need this entire team to grow into. And you know, you got to have your Pernell McPhee on the field starting day one. You have to have Akeem Hicks come up with a season like he had last year. You have to have the development of guys like Adrian Amos into their third season now and try to look like a veteran with knowledge from that point.
I solicited questions for you guys via social media earlier today, and there are a number of good ones, so I want to just kind of fire away, and you can join in if you hear something the guy's saying. You have a question for them at 312-644-6767. We'll start with Mitchell Trubisky, because yesterday he said even if he's unsigned come July 26, when the Bears have to report to Bourbonnais, that he's going to show up down there and he will participate in training camp, and he doesn't consider it an issue at this point. But I did get the question, Jim, do you think that Trubisky will sign his contract, and how good can this defense be? So let's start with Trubisky, and then we'll get the defense question to Tom.
Yeah, I do think they'll get the contract signed, and you know, that's all well and good that he says, hey, I'll be there even if it's not signed. No, he will have his contract signed in order to go out and practice. His agent wouldn't even let him go leave the building if that's the case, because he's got to have that signed. And I think, you know, you look at the Bears, they're motivated to get it done. It's pretty much slotted and slated, so whether it contains any you know, the fifth-year option and all those type of things are kind of standard, and it's just going to fall in a certain area. So maybe they're just haggling about incentives now, but I guarantee it will get done.
You know, and defensively speaking, Zach, according to the Twitter question, I think they're as good as their defensive backfield will be. You know, you talk about mentorship and leadership on this football team. You bring in a guy like Quinton Demps that has experience, that should be able to spill over to every one of these young defensive backs, HJQ, and Adrian Amos and Bush, and even DeAndre Hall if he makes that that position
transition,
switch from cornerback to safety. And then I even think guys like Kyle Fuller need a little bit of mentorship from some of these guys that have NFL experience. If you go out there and the defensive backs with the nickel and dime coverage that they could provide for this football team, I do think the front seven can be as aggressive and enough to get the quarterbacks off balance. And I like the fact that Vic Fangio, not only is he a defensive coordinator, he has a little bit more of a footprint on this defense because he's doing more of a position coaching. So his influence in the room out there, when you're talking to a position every single day, every single meeting, kind of leaves a little bit of a lingering effect, and it will hopefully help these guys into the regular season.
Let's hit on that point that you made about Vic Fangio, because he's been spending a lot of time essentially coaching the outside linebackers in addition to coordinating the entire Bears defense. And I bring that up because Leonard Floyd last year, self-admittedly, was not in the shape that he needed to be in to be an every-down NFL player. And fundamentally, he's talked about how he didn't know what he was doing, and yet he still had 7 sacks.
All right, you know what, Zach? If he says he wasn't in the shape that he needs, then I let that go one time only. Don't come into your second year saying, oh, I need to be in better shape, because you know the type of conditioning that you have to invest to make sure that you're ready for the season.
Well, you saw him throughout the offseason.
Right.
And there was a noticeable difference.
Right. You know, but again, what's John Fox call it? The underwear Olympics, when they're out there with no pads and just shorts and everything. A lot of things changes because, you know, Jay Hilgenberg used to have a saying. When you used to go in the weight room and you used to see these new guys come in and bench 600 pounds and squat 1,000, and Jay used to say, this is when most guys look their best. I can't have that from Leonard Floyd. I need Leonard Floyd's best is when you have full pads on. So, again, you give me that rookie statement that you weren't in the condition that you need to be in. I'll let you have that one time. I don't want to have it again.
But fundamentally, and I think this is an area that he can improve on immeasurably, if he does the things that you teach a football player to do.
His fundamentals are as impressive as anybody on the football field. The quickness of his feet, the way he uses the length of his body.
But keep your head up when you're hitting.
His ability to spin in space and get away from an offensive blocker. He's got everything that you desire in that position. But I need you to be properly conditioned so you can be out there every day.
Let's take a break. When we come back, more of your questions via social media and the phone lines at 312-644-6767, including special teams. We haven't talked a lot about that, but it could be pivotal this year for the Bears. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Visit the 7-Up Chicago Bears training camp from July 27th through August 13th on the campus of Olivet Nazarene University in Bourbonnais. View the daily camp schedule and get your free tickets right now at ChicagoBears.com. Alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. You can join us at 312-644-6767. Training camp is a big deal. It's always a big deal, but especially in a season where there aren't a lot of defined jobs heading into camp. And one of the big goals this offseason, it was clear from the get-go when the league year began from Ryan Pace, Tom, that there was definitely an emphasis being placed on making sure that there was competition across the board at most of the positions that definitely needed it.
Yeah. You know, one thing, when we used to go to training camp in Platteville, it was almost 4 hours away, and it was a real commitment for the Bears fans to take the trip up there to come and support us at practice, which they did a great job. And when it is down at Kankakee in the Bourbonnais area, it's not that much of a, it's not that long of a drive. So the fan support is really important, because I think the fans on the outside of the fence create a lot of the competitiveness inside the fence. And I like what Ryan Pace is talking about. There's got to be competition at every position. But I think when you're a player and you look outside the fence and you see the rows of fans standing there, it kind of creates more of an incentive to be competitive. It makes you want to hold on to your job and go out there and fight to the end of practice. And I think John Fox is – that's one of the things that I really liked about John Fox when he came here, is his practices are physical. They're a hard-fought physical practice, especially when they get into the team drills. And I think it needs to be more evident this year at the start of training camp and go all the way through the end of training camp than ever before. Again, because I talk about the results of last season, they can't happen again this season.
And for the first time since 2008, you're not quite sure who the quarterback of the Bears is going to be when the season starts. I know that everyone has said across the board that Mike Glennon is the starter, including Mitchell Trubisky, who even yesterday, going on every interview that he went on yesterday, was saying that I completely understand who the number one quarterback on the 2017 Chicago Bears is, and that's Mike Glennon. But man, Jim, you've been through this. The pressure that Mike Glennon begins training camp with, that's a lot more than just your average quarterback.
Yeah, I think, you know, and just piggybacking off what Tom said, I think there's a lot of prove-it deals for a lot of players, whether, you know, Victor Cruz, who we just talked about, or, say, Prince Amukamara. He wants to return to a high level of play, and that's why some of these deals are just a one-year prove-it deal, because you are going to get the most out of these players. And I think even for Mike Glennon, that's true, because Mike Glennon knows if it's not going well early in the year, they just drafted a first-round quarterback. What, are they going to just go through poor play and not get the kid on the field and get him experience if Mike's not playing well? Of course not. You know, John Fox wouldn't, and everybody in the organization wouldn't be doing their job if that's the case. But I expect Mike Glennon is going to show up and perform for all those reasons. One, he's ready. Two, he's been on the field. He comes with a lot of experience, and I think he's confident. I think he knows this is his time to go out and play. So he's motivated, he's excited, and I think he's going to bring every, you know, all the good qualities to the table, because he knows another quarterback's waiting in line if he doesn't.
You know, Jim, they print the depth chart every single day at training camp, and every single day you have to go and look at your place on that depth chart. And your only goal is to keep that number one job if you are lucky enough to have it. And that's why that position changes. So I think that's what makes it so interesting is, you know, that if you're on a special team and you're on kickoff return one day and all of a sudden you go through your paces and they're not really excited to see what you do, and now someone else is in your position, that has a big factor on the way you feel about going out to practice, the effort that you're going to give. But it's same true for every single position out there. Every day they have that depth chart, and you got to look at it and make sure that you're retaining your position.
Right, but the public generally, for example, the public isn't watching the right guard at a training camp practice. And I'm not – there's no disrespect there, Tom, but that's just the truth. Everyone is watching the quarterback.
Yeah, but that right guard is watching it. Because every single day when I went to my first training camp, I was a backup center to Jay, and I always felt that I felt more confident in myself as a player, as an offensive guard. And Jay's just coming off of a Pro Bowl, so I'm going to be behind him no matter what. But if you're a player out there and you're checking it yourself, that's all that it matters to. Eventually, the people will get to know your name, but whether it's quarterback or nose guard, you know, those players are following that every single day, every single rep, every single practice.
Think about the fifth rounder, Jordan Howard. He may not have started the year as the starter, but he sure as hell finished the year as the starter. And I think we all identified it. That's what Tom's talking about. You think your job's set in stone? A fifth-round draft pick just took it.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. I have a question about special teams that I got here via social media. What do you guys think about the kicker situation? Connor Barth or the new guy that they have in from BYU, Andy Phillips, who gets the job?
Well, it's kind of funny because Jim's talking about Jordan Howard last year as a fifth rounder becoming the starting running back. Who was the starting kicker when 1 year ago at this time when we are talking about the Chicago Bears? That was Robbie Gould. And then you see a little bit into the season, there is a change at that position. There is no guarantee. It's about production. It's about the opportunities you're giving on the field and how effective you can be.
And I want to correct myself. Andy Phillips went to Utah, not BYU, so don't text me, tweet me, all that kind of stuff. I made a mistake. It happens. But he's not. He's an older kid. He's not one of these traditional rookies. And I think that's the kind of temperament you want.
I've heard some positive remarks about Andy Phillips too. I've heard some scouts around the NFL saying the guy has a leg. He can both hit kickoffs and extra points and field goals. So I do think it's a challengeable position. And listen, if you bring in a kicker here that makes Connor Barth better, then that's better for the Chicago Bears ultimately. You don't want to bring in a guy here that's just there to bring in another camp leg to save Connor Barth. You want to come in here that has that there is competitiveness at the position, whether it's kicker or right guard.
He's 28 years old. He used to be a member of the United States national ski team from 2007 to 2011. And Jim, I don't know if you'll ever have an opportunity to talk to him during training camp because, you're so busy with the big wigs. But when you do, he's also fluent in Norwegian.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, look at an old buddy of mine who just met Morten Andersen, the Great Dane, right? He was a pretty good kicker, and he ended up going into the Hall of Fame, all-time leading scorer in the National Football League. Well, and it takes a focal point, too, now, because we all know the extra points are further out. It definitely was a problem for kickers last year, and it could become, if they're not on their game. You saw a lot of teams moving on from their kicking situations. Even Tampa, their second-round kicker, Roberto Aguayo, he's not even guaranteed a spot right now. They're bringing in competition there, and this guy's a second-round draft pick who's shanking them left and right. Too critical of a position. I mean, when you think about it overall, why aren't there more kickers in the Hall of Fame? Because no position probably decides more games than that position alone, whether it's a winning kick, whether they shank it, or an extra point that could cost or win your team a game. It's kind of shocking that actually more kickers aren't in the Hall of Fame.
You know, it's something is the long snapper is so important to the success and failure of a kicker. When the Bears had the luxury of living through the eras of Patrick Manley and stuff, boy, you have that consistency that's the exact same every single snap. And that is, I think they had a good long snapper last year. He's on the roster again this year. So it's weird when there is another position player that sometimes can decide the success and failure of your job.
Yeah, that long snapper is Patrick Scales, the guy who's doing it. Now, the thing is, and I don't like to brush aside special teams because there used to be a time here where that used to be the case. Then Devin Hester came along and special teams became must watch, must listen to, and they've gone away from that. And I think when you talk about the 19 guys that were on IR last year, I think just having your health, it's going to make special teams a lot better than it was the last couple
of years.
Well,
I think, you know, this is the first time, you know, that Coach Rogers has had like a three-year opportunity to investigate the talent that he has coming in from the beginning of training camp. Can you develop a core group of guys that you know are going to start a majority of your special teams and then kind of fill it in with a couple players that Ryan Pace has brought in through the draft and free agency?
What are your concerns heading into training camp, which begins 25 days from right now in Bourbonnais? Tom Thayer and Jim Miller will give you their answers, and you can join us at 312-644-6767 on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique Bears stories and interviews. This week on Inside the Bears, Bears legends Brian Urlacher, Jay Hilgenberg, Marty Booker, and Big Cat Williams share advice with the Bears 2017 rookie class. Jarrell Freeman hosts an NFL Play 60 event in Canada, and the Bears pay special tribute to a World War II veteran. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at ChicagoBears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app anytime. And, you know, that got me thinking. I want to hear, if you guys were up in the room talking to Bears rookies today, what would be the most important thing that you would tell them? Don't tell me the answer right now. But that's something that we'll get
to. I have been a part of that a couple times.
And I'm dying because I'm going to guess that what you say is very different from what Jim says.
Just because Jim's a quarterback.
Well, we'll find out. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Tom's here. So's Jim. I'm Zach Zaidman. Scott in Joliet is on Bears All Access. How you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Great, Scott. What's up?
I'll be honest. You know, I have serious reservations about this draft, but I want to ask these guys, who are you looking for? If somebody really shines, where can you say, okay, the draft wasn't so bad? Who are you looking for? I guess outside Trubisky, because, you know, there's four or five other guys they took. So what would you know, ease everyone's concerns a little bit?
You know,
who would show up?
Scott, that is a really good question. I think Trubisky is the obvious, just because when the Bears went up and they traded for him in the second pick, and it was the quarterback, and all of us as Bears fans have been dying for a quarterback here since, you know, Sid Luckman and Jim McMahon and stuff. But to me, I think Adam Shaheen can come in here and have the biggest immediate impact of anybody within this draft class. I think Tre Cohen can also, because you can kind of use him as a weapon in different positions offensively. But I think if you have a guy that's going to contribute to a lot of snaps, first, second, and third down, to me, I think Adam Shaheen is a guy that can come in here and be an immediate contributor at the position when, you know, when the position was so injured at the end of last season. I think Adam Shaheen can come in here and have an impact.
I think Tariq Cohen is going to surprise, and I think Eddie Jackson is a lot better than what people think. Fourth-round safety out of Alabama, had a season-ending injury last year. He is a very good football player, and that may take time for it to show itself, but I think Eddie Jackson is going to prove to be a far better draft pick than what people think.
And maybe not just at the safety position, because this guy, remember, he broke his leg at Alabama returning a punt, and he was a very successful punt return man last year before the injury.
Right, and you know, we talked about the special teams at the end of last segment, and you talk about the contribution that the return game needs to provide for field position for this offense. If you can get a young guy that has confidence and has the ability to catch punts at the NFL level, you know, I think that can be a tremendous help for this team.
312-644-6767, the number here on Bears All Access. Norm in Romeoville, you're on the show. Welcome to Bears All Access, Norm.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi, Norm.
Hey, I'm just wondering, do you guys still see Kyle Fuller as the starting cornerback after his great rookie season? And then I don't know what happened last year, if Loggins lost confidence in him or what. And I will hang up and listen to your answer, but I love the guy.
You know, Norm, I'm still a fan of Kyle Fuller, and I hope he can be a guy that's one of the starting cornerbacks here. But, you know, the cornerback position needs to be complemented by the pressure that the front seven puts on the opponent's quarterback. If you're not getting pressure by those guys and you're letting the quarterback sit back there for 4 points, 4+ points seconds in being, you know, he's not being hassled, not being taken off of his spot. I think it's tough for any cornerback to succeed, but I do think Ed Donatell is a good defensive backs coach. I think Vic Fangio is a good coordinator. And if he can do, if you can get Kyle Fuller to come back and compete as a first-round draft choice, it's going to help the entirety of the defensive backfield and put a little bit more pressure on Amukamara and Marcus Cooper and all the other guys that are fighting for cornerback opportunities here.
And, Tom, you hit it on the head at the start of the show, because I believe that if you can gain trust from a coaching staff perspective in that secondary, your defense dramatically improves. I think it's the biggest key to the defense. I think it might be the biggest key to the entire team, because if the defense is flowing the way it can with Vic Fangio, it's going to flow that way because the secondary is a secondary that you can trust, and it's going to make your offense better. It's going to make your football team better.
You know, and again, you know, Kyle Fuller has to have a healthy season. He has to go out there, and again, we talk about training camp. He's got to be competitive from day one. And, Jim, I think you bring it up every week. The amount of turnovers that the Bears have to provide for their football team this year, it's got to pick up threefold, fourfold from the last couple years.
It definitely does. You know, give the offense an opportunity to score. You know, work on some short fields, those type of, you know, which is what the Bears need to do offensively. If they can work with some short fields after an interception or, you know, a big sack hit, fumble, something like that, where the Bears can recover, and lo and behold, you're on your own 30 going in. I mean, those are great situations to be in. And so I think it's about finish, and I think those guys will have every opportunity. Kyle Fuller will have an opportunity to reclaim that position. It's really up to him. If he wants it bad enough, then he'll earn the starting nod. If not, as Tom said, those other guys will be competing now. Prince Amukamara, that guy's on a one-year deal. He's betting on himself. You will get the best out of Prince Amukamara, I can guarantee you.
All right, so Jim Miller, you're standing in front of the Bears rookies, and the Bears would like to give those rookies advice from people who have been there and done that. What's the most important thing, the most important message that you would like to get across to the current rookies on the Bears?
Hit somebody, will you? It's football. No, I'm just kidding. I just think to be a professional. You know, I think you got to learn to be a pro, and I think if you work hard, you keep your mouth shut, good things happen, and you will earn the respect of not only your teammates but everybody in the building if you keep it simple like that. You're here for a reason, that you can compete. The Bears thought enough of you that they believe that you can compete in the National Football League, and you got an opportunity to make it not only on this team but in the National Football League as a whole.
You know, I think two things to me stand out. If you make mental mistakes, that'll get you cut. Physical mistakes will always get you coached harder the next day. But if you make repeated mental mistakes, there's no way a coaching staff will keep you. So make sure that every single day that you're on the field, you know every single assignment that you're required to know, and don't come back to the sidelines and be asking questions why I was wrong, because that's your own fault. And number two, save your money. I remember pulling into the driveway after I signed my first contract in the USFL, it was, and I wasn't making a lot of money. But my dad said to me, you know, it's taken me 30 years to make what you're going to make in 4 years. So, and it left an incredible impact on me, because, again, we weren't making a lot of money. But in terms of my dad worked for Commonwealth Edison climbing poles 43 years, working outdoors every day of his life. And I would tell these guys, be frugal about the way you spend your money. It's when you go on these road trips, it's not a fashion show. It's a business trip. Don't think that you have to have 10 custom-made suits to get on the plane with a bunch of other guys that you're going to get back on the plane after with a bloody elbows and cuts and nicks that are going to leave stains on your white shirts or these fancy clothes. You can dress nice, be a professional, but it's not about how much you spend on your wardrobe to stand around 50 other guys.
That's Tom brings up a good point. What Tom's dad did, that's a career, okay? Football is not a career. It is a short window of opportunity is what it is. It's not a career, though. What Tom's dad did, that's a career.
You know, I heard Patrick Manley, our good friend, call it a clown show when he was watching the draft this past year, where, you know, people get so excited talking about the clothes that they're wearing to go up and greet the commissioner. And that's not what it's about. That's not why you're busting your tail every single day.
You know, when I was at Notre Dame, I think the third year you're a letterman, they give you a blue sport coat as your reward. And I think I wore it on 95% of my trips as a Chicago Bear. And it was just a blue sport coat. And, you know, that's what it was about. It was about business.
Yeah. And, you know, Jim was many things as a member of the Bears and as a quarterback in the NFL, but a fashionista he was not. Definitely not. 312-644.
52 stout.
312-644. 6767 is the phone number. Hey, I got a question for you. You know, the last 24 hours, the new league year has started in the NBA, and you see the money these guys are making.
Yeah.
That's not the most popular sport in America. And then you start to think of what football players let's discuss next on okay. Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Experience the fun and excitement of Meyer Bears Family Fest on Saturday, August 5th as the Bears hold a team practice at Soldier Field. All tickets are just $8. Get yours today at ChicagoBears.com. And from what I was reading, they're going to give kids an opportunity to run a 40-yard dash at Family Fest.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, very good.
What was your 40 time?
It was, you know, pretty okay. You know, it was like, you know, right under 5 flat or right over 5 flat. So it was decent for, you know, the position I was playing and stuff.
Do you even need that? Is it an accurate gauge of anything you have to do as an offensive lineman?
I think it is, because, you know, they're going to want to see if they can take a better athlete that has good foot speed and they can further develop him in terms of the weight room, eating correctly, his technique and fundamentals on the football field. If you go out there and you run a 6 flat 40 and you bench press 225 three times, then I think it kind of indicates your dedication into the weight room and the different aspects of your game.
Jim, I'm not even going to ask.
Before my foot surgeries, I used to, believe it or not, it was pretty quick back in the day. I had busted a 4.6 coming out of Michigan State.
Oh, like really?
But I ended up having, before the combine, I had a foot surgery. It was the first of 6 that I had on my feet.
Wow.
And then I had all the Achilles problems and all that. But, yeah, but I used to be able to move, believe it or not, Zach, back in the day. Well, by the time I got to the Bears, it was like... a sundial.
Hey, well, but you know what? I want a quarterback that can think the position. I don't care what he can run. And that's evident in Tom Brady, Marino, and all these guys. It's how they think the game, not how they run away from the game.
Yeah, Jim has said it best. I think of all the people that I've heard describe the position to those of us that haven't played it, it's essentially your ability to quickly solve a puzzle.
Yes.
That's it. It's just understanding where the pieces fit, and there's always going to be an advantage for the offense. You just have to figure it out faster than the defense.
A puzzle stands still. A Rubik's Cube needs to be moved in so many different directions in order for you to ultimately solve the puzzle. So I think a quarterback is more like solving a Rubik's Cube in motion.
Yeah, with the speed of a fidget spinner.
Right.
Well, I say it all the time. You have to have the ability to, one, diagnose and process the clues. You know, and think ahead, and it has to happen lightning quick. You know, when we say, oh, you're thinking 2 plays ahead or something like that, like the minute you get in the red zone, you know, light bulbs and sirens should be going off in your head. Hey, whatever we're doing, I'm not taking a sack, I'm not taking us out of field goal range, but you have to be thinking ahead that way. Always, you know, getting the clues. Oh, even though it's second down, well, it's second and 12. Well, they just put substituted defense in the game. They're going nickel corner. And you constantly got to be on your toes just digesting that information, because all those clues, when you put it together, helps you solve the puzzle you're trying to get done.
He played with Brady when Jim won a Super Bowl ring in New England. Is Brady the best that you've ever – and you've been around a lot of quarterbacks, even post your playing career. Is Brady the best you've ever seen at being able to quickly solve that puzzle and thinking the game the way you just mentioned?
He has great vision. I remember it was probably my second practice there, and I couldn't even practice. I wasn't healthy enough at that point. And I remember Josh, he had hit a post route down the field, and Josh McDaniels looked at me, and I go, how did he even see that? And he said, since Tom Brady had arrived with the New England Patriots, he goes, Jim, I have never seen a quarterback see the field as good as he does. And I mean this, Tom. He literally can tell you what all 21 other guys are doing on the field. meaning, hey, well, I saw this. This is why I ended up throwing that way, because my left guard got pushed back. I saw the defensive end. He started with the outside rush, and then he spun and came back inside with the left tackle, and he's breaking down the right guard and what the defensive tackle's doing, where the linebackers drop, the safeties, the corners. I mean, and I was just like, you got to be kidding me. He literally can see the whole field and tell you what all 21 other players are doing and did to make the decision that he made. He truly is an incredible player.
Well, you know, in terms of speaking about a coach, I think that was the key to the success of our offensive line was Dick Stanfeld, because he told you how every single player was going to move according to the way the play was going to unfold step by step. And I think when you're given those descriptions and then you're taught the proper technique and fundamentals by a guy that's done it a million times in his life, that's why Dick Stanfeld could coach every single position, and I think it helped us tremendously. But there's no more important position on the field than the quarterback to see it that way.
So Derek Carr recently became the highest paid player in the National Football League. It's going to change shortly when some of these new quarterbacks come up, but $125 million extension for 5 years. Steph Curry just got $201 million playing basketball.
Yeah, but that offensive guard for the Raiders got $56 million for 5 years. So to bring it a little bit closer to me and my position, I envy that too. But I also, no matter what the finances are that you pay attention to the game, I like the fact of having a Super Bowl ring as much as the finances that Jackson, the offensive guard for the Raiders, is going to get.
Well, I always bring this up with Pat Kerwin, my co-host that Tom, you guys know well as well. I always say it's like the movie Unforgiven, where you look at Clint Eastwood, he goes in there, and Gene Hackman, they had his friend decorating the bar, and he says, "I don't deserve this." And Clint Eastwood says, "Deserves got nothing to do with it." Because some of those guys, you know, when you look at some of the money, I mean, you've got guards now making tackle money. It's crazy. Or Ndamukong Suh's deal down there. Who's in their right mind is going to say a defensive tackle is going to take you to the Super Bowl? I mean, when you think about it, think about 3 years ago. His was the highest paid deal in the National Football League, and it's crazy. Whatever it was, $126 million however many guaranteed he got, it was over half guaranteed. And I think you'd be hard pressed to find any other team that would pay a defensive tackle that amount of money and say, "Oh yeah, this guy's taking us to the Super Bowl."
Man, this show flew by. Guess what? We're going to do it again Wednesday, 6 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening. Have a great holiday weekend. Stay safe, and we'll be back on Wednesday talking more Bears football with you right here on The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.